Welcome back to Real Talk Rangers podcast. This is, believe it or not, our fifth pod already, and we are right in the middle of the preseason. We are officially in October, which means that opening night is actually next week, which is pretty fantastic. Obviously, we can't wait. We know that you can't wait, and it's been great seeing the different line combinations, all these different players in the preseason get a chance to show what they've got, playing with different players and just in all different situations. So you're seeing what you've got in anticipation of putting together an opening night lineup, which is coming very, very soon. And I know that we have already discussed our forward line, so if you missed those, be sure to go back and check those out. But today we wanted to get into the defense, which is sort of an Achilles heel, but clearly it needs to be addressed, and we put together our pairings. So I guess we'll get right into that. Derek, what do you got for the first line?
So my defensive lines have changed a little bit since I've been watching some of the preseason. I've been able to go to two actually out of the three games, one at the Garden and one at the Prudential Center. So things have changed in my mind a little bit. The top pair, I actually now have McDonough playing with Klein, which I think is a little bit different than people have been thinking. And I'll go into my I'll go into my reasoning behind it. It's essentially because I don't have a spot for Brady Shea to play. I just don't. And I think he could benefit from being in the minors for another week or two, or a month, depending on how other people play. But I have McDonough and Klein. I don't know what you have.
Okay, we're going to completely differ here. Yeah. I have McDonough and Shea. I think that – I know that he had a bit of a rocky start the other night, but I just think the potential's there. I think he's already been given vast, expansive minutes against top-line competition in the playoffs, and I don't think he's done anything to lose his job. And I also think that you can always shuffle the D-lines later on, but just opening night, putting him up there right next to McDonough, I think – would help him grow and will be a good starting spot for him. So I have those two together as my top pair.
I mean, I definitely think Shea makes this team. Do I think he starts? That I'm not so sure about. The reason being is, I mean, he's played, four or five games in the playoffs last year. Yes, against top men, but I just don't think he has the time yet. I think they'll be okay with kind of riding him on the bench for a little bit. I also think because of the fact that McElrath is such a question mark, at least in the Rangers' mind, I think that they...
To AV, for sure.
For AV and everybody. I mean, Bukaboom, we know, loves him. So I actually think Dylan McElrath makes the opening night roster because of Jeff Bukaboom. But I also think that he has a very short leash, and I could very easily see Shea and McElrath kind of going in and out of that sixth defensive pair. Or six defensemen, so I think that's kind of where I went with Shea not making the opening night roster, and McElrath, because he's been working for so many years to try to get to that spot, he gets the opening night roster. But I guess we'll see.
We'll see. I disagree on your point as to the Rangers being able to wait it out a little bit with Shea, and I just think they're going to have a tremendous sense of urgency right out of the gate here, and I think that McDonough and Shea up top, I just think it could work. I mean, I get the point on McElrath. I know he's been working hard, and the Bukaboom situation is clearly going to help him, but I'm not convinced that he has a locked-in spot in AV's mind, and I don't know that he's shown that he can be a steady, every-single-night type defenseman, but we'll move on to the second pair because I'm sure, I mean, we'll get into the different players we have in the lineup here. So I've got Klein and Clendenning on my second D pair.
Yep. So I put Klein up on my top line with McDonough. But if I had put Shea or somebody else in that top line, I would have had Klein there. But I have Staal and Clendenning, and I think that, you know, Staal's Staal. He's going to be very mediocre. He's not really going to... he's not going to impress you, but he's also really not going to let you down, I think, all that much. He's not quite on Girardi's level, I would say, at this point. I mean, he's still...
Agreed.
He's still a pretty stable defenseman. You know, he's pretty reliable in his own zone. He can throw in a little offense there. On the other side, Clendenning, I mean, he has been very impressive. And honestly, kind of came out of nowhere. He's been playing really well defensively, but even more noteworthy is his job on the power play. I mean, he's been basically running the power play. Him and Mika Zibanejad have completely turned around the power play, and we're going to go into the power play later, but he's just been amazing on the power play and also defensively, so I have no complaints with him at all.
I couldn't agree more. I think that Clendenning actually deserves a little bit of a backstory here, because he's really been the story of the preseason so far. If you've watched all the games,
yeah, for sure.
You kind of look at his name and you know, who is this guy? Clendenning. How do I even pronounce his last name? But you watch him play, and yeah, like you said, he looks solid defensively. Clearly, the guy's moving the puck very well on the power play. Although I did not like the fact that he took the number 4 at first. You know, it was an ode to Delzato, who,
yeah,
we'll move on from Delzato. But Clendenning. The guy's he's 23, right? He was picked 36th overall by the Blackhawks in 2011. So clearly he's got some pedigree, taken as a high second-round pick, right? And this stat is kind of surprising here. So he's played games at the NHL level in some capacity for the past 2 years. And he has played for 4 different teams in the last 4 years, not including the Rangers. So he had 4 games in Chicago, 17 in Vancouver, 9 in Pittsburgh, and 20 in Edmonton. So the guy's been moving all around. And I don't know that he's really had a shot to make a team right out of training camp like this, especially a team that just lost its quote-unquote power play quarterbacks in Yandel, who will be a sore loss, and Danny Boyle. But I think that Clendenning has a good chance to step in and can produce right away. So I've been pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I mean, you. I was just looking at these stats as you brought them up. I mean, he's never played more than 30 games in the NHL. And, you know, if I had not known that beforehand, looking at him in the preseason, you would think this guy's a veteran defenseman who's played many, you know, 5-10 years on the blue line. It makes you also wonder a little bit if there's something we're not quite seeing on maybe a more fine level, something wrong with his game. So far, to me, he's been looked solid. I mean, he's looked pretty solid, but he's also playing against kind of half teams, you know, A and B squads. Maybe he can't handle top lines, top minutes. I mean, you don't really know what the issue is there. But 4 teams in 2 years, there's obviously something going on that we're not so sure of. So we'll see how that pans out. But you got anything to add to that, or we go to the third line?
Right. It's a little bit of a cause for concern there, just because, like you said, that's 4 different teams in 2 years. So clearly he's not sticking with any of them. But I just think that maybe the positioning and the timing is right, that he's got a good shot to make it here and maybe produce. Could fit right in. I mean, if he's making passes like he made the other night, you know, he's at the top of the blue line, just a quick one-touch, one-time pass down low beyond the hash right to JT Miller, who sent it right in front to Zibanejad for that beautiful goal, the goal of the preseason so far.
Well,
I mean, those passes are beautiful. So
yeah, I think 2 other things to note really quickly is that he's got 50 career games and he has 2 goals and 9 assists, which is pretty solid for a defenseman. The other thing that I think is really important to watch what AV's been doing with the lines, his power play lines, he's had 4 forwards and then Clendenning is the only defenseman back there. So they're obviously confident in him playing defensively on an offensive power play. So that's it shows promise. The AV is already doing things like that. So
totally agree. We'll get into that on the power play too, because I'm pretty sure we'll both probably have him there.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's looked like a good fit right there. But I just wanted to finish off the D pairing. So my first two were, my top line was McDonough and Shea. Second was Klein and Clendenning. And my third D pair was the classic veterans Staal and Girardi together. I think that putting them together, right, in a sheltered way, in a protected way, where they can only, you know, play certain. You can cap their minutes to an extent. You can cap their opponents to an extent too, playing them on the third pair. And I just think they could still produce and be solid. I really do. I mean, Girardi's been put in positions to fail the last year. That I don't think that's really come under question, but I just think the two of them together can – I think they could still be steady. What do you think?
I mean, just the thought of that is very scary. I think anyone watching this, when you said that, probably had raised their eyebrows a little bit and thinking to themselves, how could you possibly put Girardi with Stahl? But I will say mine's
– Well, I couldn't put Girardi anywhere else but the third pair.
Right. So
that was a lock.
And that's the problem.
And
go ahead.
Well, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, okay. So – Right, so if with my three pairings, I don't have McElrath in the opening lineup, but I'm basing it on what I think is the most likely to happen. I think that McElrath will come in and play matchups against certain teams where it's more of a physical contest. I just kind of put out what I thought AV would be comfortable doing. He's made comments all offseason, I'm sure you've seen them, talking about Girardi is a big part of the team still, and he's going to be sure to get his minutes. So I just think that that's the way that it's trending, and I'm trying to look at it in a positive light. And I think it could still be okay. I obviously would like to see McElrath get minutes and games in, especially under Buka Boom. But just for the opening night, those are my three pairings.
So, but I have a question for you then. So if you're planning on rolling McElrath out once in a while, who are you rolling him out for? Is it Girardi?
Yeah.
Okay. So pretty much every time, Girardi for McElrath?
Probably, unless they're barring an injury.
Right.
Yeah, I would switch out G.
Okay, so I mean, basically, my comment just to that is, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. It's very hard to put defensive pairs without Girardi and Stahl together because that's just how the lines work out. And Girardi and Stahl are kind of a liability. I worry if you put them together, if you play a team with depth, if you play Pittsburgh or San Jose or any Washington, any team with any sort of depth, you're going to roll your third pair out there against really good lines. And I know there's no avoiding it, but I can't wrap my head around it. But then again, I have Girardi playing with McElrath. So is it much better? Probably not. It could be even worse. Who knows? Our lines are pretty...
Real quickly. So for me, what you just said proved the point, in my opinion. I really did struggle with these lines, especially down towards the third pair. But the thought of G and McElrath out there together,
right.
I couldn't do it. Right. I just could not do that.
I mean, I think both of our projections, it's a little bit, you know, it's a little scary to think about, to be honest. But
True. It is dicey down there. But, hey, that's where we're at this point.
I think that I'm just not sold. I mean, I'm sold on Shea being a regular guy. I just don't think – I'm not sure if they want to jump that far yet. I mean, There's no bad side to him going down to the minors for a couple weeks or a month or two. I mean, I want him to play. I think he's worthy of playing. I think Clendening is really the one that's kind of throwing everything for a loop here because no one really expected him to make this team. So now you have this extra spot that you throw him in. And basically what it does is it automatically puts either Shea or McElrath out because you know Girardi and Stahl are starting at least the first month of the season. So barring an injury, that, you know, you're either out McElrath or Shea, which I think they both deserve to be on the roster. So I guess we'll see how that works out.
I agree. I know that Nick Holden's on the team. I don't really know where he fits in, but I guess we'll see what AV wants to do if he rotates him in at any point.
Yeah, I'm not sure he played a preseason game yet. I could be wrong, but I don't think he has.
I don't think he has,
yeah.
But I'm not sure on that either.
Yeah.
But regardless, I guess so. Now we can move on to the special teams, and we'll get right into the top power play unit. So for me, I have four offensive players and a defenseman, similar to what they've been rolling out all preseason long so far. So I have Chris Kreider, Mika Zibanejad, mm-hmm. Brandon Peary on the right, mm-hmm. Zuccarello on the point with Clendening.
I have nothing more to add.
We have the same line.
That's my opening power play. I mean, listen, Zibanejad is – I hate to say this, but I've been saying it for a week now since the preseason started. He's just a better Brassard. I love Brassard. Zibanejad's just – he's more noticeable on the ice. We talked about this earlier. He's more noticeable. Every time he's on the ice, you're expecting something to happen, and that's pretty much what you need on the power play. He runs the whole thing just like he did in Ottawa. Everything goes through him. Peary has been I mean, nothing short of amazing. He's got like 6 points. And
lights out.
Yeah, he's got like six points in two games and a ton on the power play. He basically solidified his spot on the roster in two games. I mean, I don't think he was a guarantee going in whatsoever, but after two games, he's pretty much a guarantee. You got to have credit.
Right. I can't imagine him not making the team at this point. Right.
And also after his...
Let alone the top, one of the top units. Right.
Right. And then after his two games where he played really well, he got taken out for the third game, which makes me think that they're sort of realizing, okay, this kid's going to play. Let's give him a little rest. And then Kreider on that power play as well. You just have to have a big body up front. He'll probably be the guy in front of the net. Zuccarello, he's been a staple on the power play for how many years now? Sort of kind of a playmaker as well. Everything can kind of go through Zuccarello. So you have two big playmakers there. And then Klendening's just been, I mean, awesome on the point. He knows how to take shots. He knows when to dish it off to either Zibanejad or Zuccarello down in the slot. I think he's a perfect fit. The only downside I see is they may be a little bit defensively liable, but we'll see what happens with that.
Right. A little bit defensively liable, but I think that, like you said, Klendening is he's a puck mover, and which is something that we really haven't seen too much of. I know even guys like Yandel, when at times he looked really good moving the puck and playing the power play, he would still try to make that cutesy little perfect pass. We've had those guys for years, and I think that maybe that's part of the attitude that Klendening will hopefully bring, that he's not really trying to futz around and you know, make the pretty plays. He's just moving the puck down ice and getting it into good areas, and hopefully if he can continue to do that with the top guys like Peary and Zibanejad, the way they're playing, that could be a really, really nice complimentary power play. I really think so.
Yeah, I have two things to add on the power play. So when I've been at the two games, if anyone's watching, they probably noticed the power play looks a lot different, and that's because it is. So they kind of adapted a diamond formation like a lot of teams have been doing. So they have their one defenseman all the way up high at the point, usually, you know, towards the center, and then they have two players in the slot positions, which would be like Zibanejad and Zuccarello. And then they have a person in front of the net, and then they also have someone in the high slot but in the middle. So there's a lot of passing going on from down low to the middle guy and then back down low and then to the point. So there's a lot of puck movement, which is exactly what the Rangers have never done in their entire lives. So I'm looking forward to the new power play formation, the lines. The second thing is, the one thing I think about the top power play that we can maybe switch around is taking Zuccarello off of it and putting him onto the second pair, just because I think Zuccarello and Zibanejad are very similar players on the power play. And I think that we might need sort of a playmaker-type player on the second power play. So I think you could easily, at least on my power play, switch out Zuccarello for either Miller or even Nash on the top power play, and then put Zuccarello as the playmaker on the second power play.
That's fair. I could see the argument in that. Yeah, I mean, I also like the fact that Zibanejad is a righty shot, which is definitely something that defenses have to be aware of, because the Rangers are predominantly lefties, and that just kind of takes a side of the ice away to an extent. Like his goal the other night, though, he's lined up to the goalie's right, and he's just putting the puck above him, and you can't really do that as a lefty shot from that position. So I think that adds another dynamic to the power play there.
Yeah, I mean, both of Zibanejad's power play goals have been in the same exact spot, and I think that that is going to be his scoring spot. If he's going to score goals in the power play, it's going to be that right-handed one-timer that just top shelves. It's every time.
Yep, the sweet spot, hopefully. Yeah. So for our second unit, we might differ here. I have JT Miller on a wing with Derek Stepan in the middle, Rick Nash on the side on the right, and then I have McDonough and Klein as the defenseman.
I have nothing else to add. No, I have the same exact...
Same exact line.
I have the same exact line.
Okay.
But like I said, the only thing that I consider is putting Zuccarello on one of those wings just to have sort of a playmaker there. I know Stepan sort of is, but I don't see Stepan as really a top playmaker on the power play. I see Zuccarello and Zibanejad more of those type of players. So I think I would keep it the way I have it for now, but I could easily see a switch with Zuccarello onto the second pair.
Yeah, I would have no qualms with that. I could see that for sure. If it's not working, if they wanted to try that out, I would have no problem with it.
On the third game of the preseason against the Devils on Saturday, the power play, it was the first game that the power play was actually very, very sloppy. they really couldn't get in the zone, and I found that a lot of players were opting to pass, which in the first two games was a direct opposite. Pretty much everyone was taking shots from everywhere. The Rangers really need to find a way to play like they did in the first two preseason games, where we're thinking shot first. We always resort back to pass, and no one takes a shot, and then there's a turnover. They really, really have to get back to shooting the puck. And that's every Rangers fan, if they go to the Garden, that's the most common phrase in the Garden is shoot the puck. And that's what they got to do.
Shoot the puck.
Every game.
Every single game. Hopefully they'll do more of that this year. I do think that these guys, a lot of them aren't trying to play that cutesy game, like I said, and they will put the puck on the net. But we'll see. We'll see. Only time will tell. But let's move on to the penalty killing, because that's a big area. Right. I think it should be. I think they've looked to address this actually a little bit during the offseason. So my top unit, I have Grabner at center, and I have Rick Nash on the wing. And my defensemen are Ryan McDonough and Kevin Klein. What do you got?
Same.
Making it easier.
Yep, same. There's no argument there. I mean, Nash has been phenomenal on the penalty kill, so you got to stick him up there. Grabner is basically a penalty kill specialist, so he's got to be up there. And really, it doesn't get any better than McDonough and Klein as far as defensively. So you can't change that. That has to be the opening penalty kill.
Absolutely. I think that's a big upgrade from last year when they had Don Moore in there.
Yes.
I love Don Moore, but you know, his skills were declining, and I just think Grabner's speed element just adds a whole different dynamic to the penalty kill. Him and Nash, I could foresee a lot of two-on-ones breaking out the other way. And they're both steady defensively in their own zone, too. I think that works very well.
I mean, Grabner basically brings back what Hagelin used to give us on the penalty kill.
Exactly.
Which was basically speed and stretch passes. And honestly, we'll have some shorthanded goals this year. I guarantee it.
I would definitely look for an uptick in shorthanded goals. For the second unit, I've got Derek Stepan. And depending on who's in the lineup, I've got either Jesper Fast or Tanner Glass on the wing. And defensively, Mark Stahl with Brady Shea. What do you have?
Oh, interesting. So we do think differently sometimes.
Good.
So I had Derek Stepan. He's just a versatile player, strong defensively in his own zone. I also had Fast. I think he's just a really good utility player, and I do think he's going to be our fourth line winger. I think he's just a really hard worker. He's really sound as far as his hockey IQ. He's just always in the right place at the right time. He's not flashy. He's not going to score 25 goals, but he gives you a good effort night in and night out. I think he makes the spot on the penalty kill there. I have Stahl on defense, but I have Clint Denning as the other defensive pair, and my reasoning being is I think they're just going to want to see more of him. I just think he has a lot to offer, and he's young. He's got good legs under him. That was kind of just threw it in there. I don't know. I'm not sure if they're going to want to throw Shea or McElrath, depending on who's playing, into that kind of fire right away. So I'm putting Clint Denning back there and see what he can do.
All right. I'm not sure that Clint Denning is a more steadying, solid presence than Shea would be, but I think that I understand where you're going with that. He has looked great, and I guess I could see it working. I just think that Shea played on the kill last year in the playoffs and looked very good, so I would just give the spot to him, but we'll see. We'll see what they want to do with the matchups and how AV shuffles the lines with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if he can stay hot for the first month, I think they just throw him in there. I think as soon as if and when Clint Denning gets hot, or excuse me, cold, he's out of the lineup pretty much right away, because we have Shea or McElrath riding the bench just basically waiting for an opportunity. So I think it's good to have three defensemen for two spots, and I think those three guys are pretty much going to be on a constant rotate, like you said, barring any injuries. So I you can't have too much depth in any position. I'll just put it that way.
Completely agreed. I think the depth gives us options, and it's a nice change for once to actually be able to rotate guys in.
The other thing really quickly is that Gilmore on defense has also been very, very solid. I mean, he has. You know, I don't think he has a chance of making this team anytime in the next year, basically. But, I mean, to know he's down there in the minors and has an opportunity to make this team at some point, I think there's a lot of hope there. So,
Agreed. He's looked good. I think that's definitely something to keep an eye on. Sean Day, too, was a draft pick this year. He's going to start in the OHL, but he's another guy to watch. But that is a longer-term outlook for sure. So, yeah, any other quick thoughts on the preseason thus far you want to add?
I think everyone's getting a little anxious to see Hank in that. Hopefully he'll start the next preseason game.
I think he's penciled in on Monday, yeah. Can't wait for that.
Yeah, so I think everyone's waiting for that. Ronta was a little shaky on Saturday. I mean, he wasn't terrible, but hopefully he can turn that around a little bit. Hellberg's actually been kind of shaky overall. And actually, Skapski's been really, really solid. So I'm looking forward to him being around, too.
Skapski has been very good. Skapski, of course, famous for playing 2 NHL games and recording 2 NHL shutouts, both against the Buffalo Sabres a couple years ago.
I forgot about that. That's great.
Excellent, excellent stuff. So, I think those are our complete lines at this point in time, halfway through the preseason. We definitely want to talk some trades. I guess we'll get into that soon as well. But I think that just about wraps it up for this episode. So be sure to catch the next one. And if you've missed any, just you can catch up on all of them by subscribing on iTunes.